Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. How we doing? How's the week going? Mine? It's going. I think I'm on the verge of potentially maybe getting sick, but that's okay. I'm here and I'm ready to go. And I'm ready to talk more about Caitlin Clark, because if we want to talk about how someone's week is going, I mean, the girl just made $28 million with Nike. She's getting a signature shoe. Incredible. $28 no doubt will offset that minimum number that she's making in the WNBA, the one that had everyone up in an uproar about, comparing her to the first-round draft in the NBA, who, you know, on that token made $55 million, and she only made $76,000 for her debut year. But $28 million definitely can add some cushion financially for Caitlin Clark. However, unfortunately, even though this is something she's super excited about, super pumped about, going to make all the difference in the world as far as her lifestyle goes, she is still left to deal with all of the critics. Now, why are there critics? Well, because Caitlin Clark is white and she's getting a shoe deal. So let's just get into how all of this is transpiring. There's a USA Today writer. His name is Mike Freeman, and he put up this post the other day. No black WNBA players have a signature shoe. Here's why that's a gigantic problem. He gets into talking about how, you know, this is unfair for someone like Caitlin Clark, a white woman, to get a signature shoe when there are other black players who haven't gotten the same opportunity. We talked about this yesterday on the show. This had me pretty fired up because it's easy to see why Caitlin Clark was the one chosen to have the shoe deal. A, she has gotten so many more people who normally have pretty much no intention of watching women's basketball to not only watch women's basketball, but to become a loyal fan. There's a lot of people now that have started buying up season tickets, for example, for the Indianapolis Fever games, who I'd imagine under normal circumstances wouldn't have even thought about buying season tickets. Her jersey sold out like wildfire during the draft day. Fanatics couldn't keep them stocked. Every single size sold out for Caitlin Clark. Clearly, there's a marketability here. Nike has been putting out top-selling shoes for decades on decades now, and they know what works, right? They have the secret sauce, if you will. So when they think to themselves, who should we give a signature shoe deal to? Who is going to help us generate the most revenue possible? Caitlin Clark obviously comes to mind. Now, for all the people who talk about, oh, well, Caitlin Clark got one, but why didn't a black player get the signature shoe deal in the WNBA? Again, this all comes down to marketability. And Nike clearly is not racist. I mean, let's take a look at what they've done in the past as far as signature shoe deals go. Michael Jordan, probably being the most well-known signature shoe on Nike's roster. I mean, look at the numbers here. The brand pulled in $6.6 billion in 2023 from Jordan's signature shoe. In 2022, 60 million pairs of Jordan shoes were sold. The Air Jordan 13, the Last Dance version, remember that was the documentary that we had during the pandemic, incredible documentary, that auctioned off for $2.2 million. Okay, so Michael Jordan, as far from what I understand, he's a black man. He got a signature shoe deal, one of the very first to get one, ultra high selling. So clearly Nike is not racist. Not to mention, we also see Kyrie Irving, a black man, who got a shoe deal with Nike. Now, his final Nike line, that final signature shoe, was never released because there was that controversy over him making those anti-Semitic remarks. But Kyrie claims that his shoe line overall generated $2.6 billion over the course of 7 years. Okay, Nike clearly has a knack for picking the right players to have signature shoes that are going to sell and sell well. Now, to add on to the conversation, to the ongoing debate over whether Caitlin Clark is deserving And some people say she's not, and that it shouldn't have happened that way because of her skin color. Let's also look at Nikola Jokic. All right. He's been the best player in the NBA for the past four seasons. He's about to get his third MVP in that span. He's the reigning MVP in the NBA Finals. He's rewriting regular season and playoff record books. Yet, until only this past December, which only 4 months ago, Jokic was the only NBA MVP since Kobe Bryant in 2008 not to have his own signature shoe. So according to reports, Nike had no plans to build a shoe around Jokic. But Nike instead, they focused on signing another rookie, Victor Wembanyama, as the face of the brand's new Air Immersion Space sneakers. So Jokic is like, what the hell, right? Like, why am I this, no pun intended, black sheep that I'm not able to get a shoe deal when I have more than proven myself? And probably he is a very marketable guy, but maybe Nike knows something that we don't. Maybe just as far as shoe sales go, maybe they see something. This isn't a black or white issue. This is a marketability issue for Nike. Anyways, Jokic ultimately had to settle for a deal with a Chinese shoe company. I've never even heard of this brand. It's called 361 Degrees. Has anyone else heard of that brand? Anyone? Okay, I didn't think so. They can hardly keep pace with brands like Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, and that would make sense because we've never heard of the brand before. But the fact remains, Nike is just not handing out to shoe deals to anybody, regardless of skin color. People are loving to throw their arms up in the air, shout and scream about this, especially Jemele Hill, who always likes to make a big deal when it comes to race. She's whining that Caitlin Clark wasn't deserving of the shoe deal. She's whining that Asia Wilson should have gotten the shoe deal over Caitlin Clark. That's a two-time finals MVP with the Las Vegas Aces. And this makes absolutely no sense because Asia Wilson, while it is a name that people are aware of in the WNBA, it's not a household name. I mean, if you're a WNBA fan, you know who she is. If you're even a remote, I would say, women's basketball fan, you probably know who she is. But if you're just a mainstream sports fan, you're probably hearing the name Asia Wilson. You're like, who? Meanwhile, Caitlin Clark now has become absolutely a household name. Also, just one more thing to show that Nike absolutely knows what they're doing. Sabrina Ionescu, she has a sneaker. It's called the Nike Sabrina 1. It's become so popular that there are big name NBA players around the league wearing them. Jordan Clarkson, Jrue Holiday, Mikal Bridges, so many more are wearing them. So listen, let's just put this argument to bed. I think we all can realize that Caitlin Clark is more than deserving of a shoe deal. This has nothing to do with her skin color. The fact that Sabrina Ionescu got a shoe deal has nothing to do with her skin color because, like I just mentioned, look at the players in the NBA who are wearing their shoe. They're black NBA players. They're not looking at the shoe and saying, no, I can't put these on my feet because this is supporting a white woman instead of supporting a black woman. This is not what sports is about. Sports is one of the only spaces that remains that is still based on meritocracy, and it needs to stay that way. And for all the people trying to make a stink about it, please just shut your mouths. Because you're making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be, and you're causing a problem and causing a conflict where there doesn't need to be one. But that's the case in many instances these days, isn't it? But one person that I have no conflict with, one person that I know is only going to help bring me back down to earth, calm my nerves, make me feel good even though I'm not feeling so great on this Wednesday, is nothing other than can be described as an American treasure. His name is Dan Dockich, and he is the host of Don't At Me. So let's bring him on in. There he is with his shiny size extra large head, as he likes to say.
Yeah, I always said women get me. I've always said that. Women get me. Even when I was a little kid, all the neighbor ladies, when I was, you know, everybody else was running around, women just understand me. So I appreciate that introduction. Thank you very much. One thing you got to understand is Mike Freeman's an idiot. Mike Freeman, the writer for USA Today, has always been an idiot. And one of the things that Mike Freeman has to do to stay relevant is put race into everything. Because Mike Freeman, if you've ever read Mike, he knows nothing about what he's supposed to write about, which is sports. So when he sees an opportunity, and he's an opportunist, when he sees an opportunity – to inject race. He does because it'll get people talking about him, and it's the only time they can. So I heard you're open. This is an incredibly stupid conversation that Freeman inflicted or infested on the American public, because one thing, as you said, man, Nike's about that business, yo. I don't give a damn if you're white, black, green, or purple. They're the only one that was still employing Kaepernick. I mean, Kaepernick couldn't get any money anywhere. Nike stood up. So the idea that Nike's racist is just stupid, ignorant, but typical Mike Freeman. How are you?
Yeah, it's just annoying because nobody who is thinking about the shoe deal or thinking about Caitlin Clark or thinking about the no one is thinking about race. That's a non-issue, and it just it's infuriating that that constantly becomes an issue that's brought up only by a specific few different people, though, Dan. It's not like this is a mainstream argument. There's the Mike Freemans of the world. There's the Jemele Hills of the world. There's the Steven Jacksons of the world. For example, I know you got fired up about this also, if we want to make a pivot. He was ripping Gayle King for supporting Caitlin Clark over Dawn Staley. Let's take a listen to what Stephen King says, and then I'll bring you in to go off on it.
But you cannot demean Dawn Staley like that. You're talking to her about winning the championship, about going undefeated, and you have the nerve to get on there and say, well, we was rooting for Caitlin Clark, and you broke everybody's hearts. Who is we? Who is we? All the black people I know was rooting for Dawn Staley. We all fans of Caitlin Clark, but the way you put it, that's trash.
Okay, so Steven Jackson, let me just clarify. I think I said Stephen King at the end there, which that's clearly not an author. That's Steven Jackson. What a stupid argument, though, Dan. I mean, another stupid argument. We're not rooting for people to win games based on their skin color, although Steven Jackson apparently is, and now he's ripping Gayle King for not doing the same.
Yeah, look, who is we? I'll tell you exactly who we is, Steven Jackson. Basically, 90% of the sporting public. That's what Gayle King was referring to. She said we, which means basically people, as you said earlier, Charlie, that didn't even watch women's basketball got enthralled by Caitlin Clark. People that never heard of women's basketball or Caitlin Clark got enthralled. That's who the we is. But guys like Steven Jackson, and Steven Jackson was here in Indy, and again, just acted like an idiot. He lived next to Tony Dungy. Tony has all kinds of stories about guns and stupid stuff that that idiot has always been involved in. But the we to everybody is not black or white. To Steven Jackson, we is black or white. It's not. Gayle King was saying basically the entire country was rooting for Caitlin Clark because of her story. And the numbers show it. I mean, I think, again, you said this earlier, ratings through the roof, jerseys sold out. She's actually sold more jerseys in this short period of time after being drafted than the WNBA has sold in its entire existence. She's sold more right now. Stadiums here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse sold out. Places being moved in Las Vegas to bigger venues. I mean, the we is the American sporting public. But again, you've got morons. You've got the dumbest of the dumb, guys like Steven Jackson, who have to make it about race. And that's exactly what Gayle King didn't. Gayle King said we is in the sporting public. He has to make it about race. Again, another clown that has a forum, apparently a popular forum, and doesn't have, can't figure out, and it just he just detests the fact, as a lot of African-American former basketball players do, detest the fact that a white girl is dominating the conversation about basketball.
What is the vibe like, Dan? You're in Indy. What's the vibe like right now? Everyone's excited about Caitlin Clark. She just got this monster shoe deal. Tickets are being sold out already to Gainbridge Fieldhouse for these upcoming Fever games. People buying season. I mean, I'll be just honest with you. I don't know anybody in the past that I've ever heard is like, oh, yeah, I'm getting season tickets to the WNBA. Right. But now, and I don't know anyone personally, I'll say, but now I'm hearing about people getting excited to attend games all season long.
Yeah, I've got four friends that have I got four friends total probably in my entire life. But anyway, I've got four friends that have season tickets to the Pacers games. And all four of them said, yeah, I'm getting season tickets to the Fever game. I was playing golf with a couple of them the other day, and they're like, yeah, what the hell? I mean, I want to see what Caitlin Clark's all about, and I want to be a part of it. I mean, look, you know this. We don't have the Cubs or the White Sox or the Reds or the Cardinals. We don't have Major League Baseball in Indy. So, hey, look, Caitlin Clark's coming in. There's a big deal. You know how people are drawn. People are drawn to stars. People are drawn to the light. And people want to see. So the vibe is, well, let's sell every game out. Let's put every game on national TV. The vibe is the Fever are a big deal. Now, you know how this goes. I mean, people think Indiana is this, we'll follow basketball no matter what. That's not true. The Fever's attendance has been about 4,000. They play in an 18,000, 19,000 seat arena. The Pacers had the lowest attendance of the NBA a couple years ago. If it's bad basketball, people in Indiana will figure out something else to do. But right now, hey, man, let's go. Let's talk Fever. Let's talk Caitlin Clark, and let's buy tickets, and let's get on national TV. That's the vibe.
Yeah, and not to mention, I mean, if you're just thinking about it from a money-making standpoint, a lot of people are excited to see Caitlin Clark, and I have to imagine not people that buy season tickets, but maybe people that want to travel in for games or just catch a game here and there. If you buy season tickets up front, you probably could get a nice resale value on those tickets if you decide to sell them throughout the season. Like you go to a couple games, put a couple sets up on StubHub or Ticketmaster for other games that maybe you don't, you know, have time to check out. You could make some money off those things probably.
Well, one thing about Indiana is scalping is legal, so as long as you're not within like 100 feet of the field house. But the other thing is this, Caitlin Clark, I was talking to Lynn Dunn, who's the general manager of the Fever, and she told me many, many, many of the people calling to buy season tickets are with Iowa area codes. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is someone comes in from out of town. They're going to stay the night. They're going to spend money. They're going to go to St. Elmo's. They're going to buy gas for their car. They're going to park. All that money goes into the economy of downtown or of Indianapolis. And make no mistake, ever since the riots, downtown Indianapolis has been a cesspool. It has. Businesses have not coming back. Our mayor has done a horrible job of getting people to understand, come downtown Indianapolis. But nobody does events better than Indianapolis. So this is a big deal. This is a really good deal during a time when downtown is pretty much dead. No Colts, no Pacers. Now you got the Fever, you got Caitlin Clark, you got people traveling from out of town. It's really going to affect everyone. In fact, in Iowa City, I think it was Iowa City or maybe it was across the state of Iowa, Caitlin Clark generated $82.5 million worth of business revenue. I think we're going to see the exact same thing, if not more, for Indianapolis.
Well, the first preseason game is May 10th. May 16th is the first regular season game. That's a home game. So that's the month of May, and Indy is going to be an exciting one because also on top of that, you've got the Indy 500, which that's like the star of the show every single May. But now you've got another big event alongside that. So May is going to be an exciting one over there.
Well, and you know what? The Pacers won last night, so they claimed home court advantage against the Milwaukee Bucks, so we'll see how far they can go. I've always said this, Charlie. I've always said whether you like the NBA, whether you follow the Pacers, or whether you don't, home game, downtown Indy, 7 o'clock start, you get downtown, you just hang out, you go to the Tin Roof, maybe you go to Prime 47, whatever your liking is, and you just hang on a nice – you know, spring day, the vibe is awesome. No, it's really good. And again, I've told people for years, hey, whether you like the NBA or not, or whether you want to go to the game or not, just go hang out downtown during from like 4, 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock until the start of the Pacers game. It's an absolute blast. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Midwest, you know, the Midwest has a vibe, Dan. There's something about the Midwest, right? I was just having this conversation the other day because I always get that people are like, wait, you're from Indiana? Like, no way, no way. Like, you totally seem like you're from New York or New Jersey. But then they get to know me. They're like, wait, you're really friendly. So now it makes sense that you would be from the Midwest. From one Midwest city to another, Kansas City. Travis Kelce will be remaining in Kansas City because he took what they're calling a friendly deal for the team. I'm putting that in quotes because he's only receiving $14 million by the Chiefs as an extension, and he accepted it to keep the team together, right? Because at some point they say, okay, either something's got to give or, you know, you've got to take a cut. And he was willing to do that in order to keep the squad together, which I think was smart on his part because I think he's built up such a legacy in Kansas City. I think he's got such a good rapport with Patrick Mahomes. And not to mention, Dan, you know, $14 million, let's just say that's a nice chunk of change, right? If you want to offer me $14 million, I will not be upset about it. Certain athletes, of course, they can generate more. But now also, of course, Travis Kelce has a billionaire girlfriend, probably soon to be fiance, then even soon to be wife. So I don't think money is at the top of mind for him right now.
No, and he just won a Webby. That's right. He just won a Webby for best co-host for his New Heights. In fact, he beat out Taylor Swift for the very prestigious website awards, although Taylor Swift won one other. So he's got that going for him. New Heights is taking off. I'm sure he's making a bunch. But to your point about taking a team-friendly contract, we saw Tom Brady do it for years. Michael Jordan actually did it for years. You know, when you have something that's rolling, when you have something that's really good, you know what? You do want to keep it together because here's the thing. I mean, Travis Kelce in Kansas City, what? Who cares? Well, we care because they won Super Bowls. We do. We care. You know, if you don't win, people don't care. It's just like what I was saying about Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark will sell these places out as long as they win and she plays well. Well, Kelce's in the perfect situation with the perfect quarterback. And you know what? I always get a kick out of this. Charlie, people say you got to be in a big market to cash in on endorsements. Really? Peyton Manning cashes in on a hell of a lot of endorsements. I don't know. He was in Indianapolis. He got to be number one, not named Michael Jordan. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, you can't swing a dead cat without seeing those two guys. All you got to really do is win in football, in particular because of how popular it is. But good for the Chiefs and good for Kelce. What the hell? Stay with a winner and you'll reap the benefits outside of football, which is great.
Yeah, honestly, I can't imagine if I were a pro athlete going and having a team where, you know, you're building a dynasty, right? You have win after win, Super Bowl ring after Super Bowl ring, national spotlight on you all the time, primetime games, playing with the best quarterback in the league. And then, you know, because maybe you get a little selfish, maybe you're like, you know, I know my worth, and Kelce realistically is worth more than $14 million, to go to another team and then be put in a completely different situation. I don't care what city it is. Maybe you go from Kansas City to Miami or Kansas City to New York or to LA, which is, you know, a massive, massive market. But then you stink and your team's not winning. You aren't getting those primetime games. You're not getting the coverage. You're not getting the, you know, all of the people ranting and raving about you. I mean, can you imagine being like, what did I just do? I forfeited such an amazing opportunity with a team that I love, my brothers, to go somewhere for a few extra million bucks, and now I'm left in, you know, this shamble of a situation.
Yeah, and that's happened a lot. I mean, that's happened all across sports. It doesn't, you know, Chris Bryant was a third baseman for the Cubs. He was beloved. They won the World Series, and now he's wallowing away in Colorado on a team that can't beat anybody. No, that happens constantly. And, you know, the smart guys understand. And part of Kelce's deal is legacy. You know, guys want to get in the Hall of Fame. Hey, look, obviously the money's great. And $28 million is more than $14 million. I get that. And sometimes you got to make that kind of decision. But you are 1,000% right. You know how it's done at a championship level. Here's the other part. You know how it's done. Andy Reid's a great coach. You got a great quarterback, and you've got a great organization that apparently understands how to fit pieces into play. And now you go somewhere else where they're no good, where it's like, wait a second, this isn't how it's done. And when you do that, you know you have no shot. You know you're not going to win a championship because you just know you've been on that side of it. So you're absolutely right. And good for Kelce, right? I mean, what the hell? Good for him. He understands it. You know, who knows where this thing is going to end with Taylor Swift? Is it going to end with a breakup song by Taylor Swift? Is it going to end in the biggest marriage since, you know, Princess Di got married back in the day? I don't know. But I know this. Kelce's pretty smart, and I like his podcast. I think his podcast is pretty good, so what the hell?
I've never actually listened to his podcast before, but I hear clips all the time on the internet, and he and his brother are very entertaining. They're a really good duo. It's something that I think a lot of people are attracted to.
Yeah, my daughter's a big Swiftie, you know, and she's like, "Dad, I listen to Travis Kelce." I go, "You don't know nothing about sports. You don't even like sports. What are you doing?" She goes, "Yeah, I know." She says, "I turn it off when they talk football, but I love the other stuff." So there you go. My Swiftie daughter is, you know, and she's not a teenager. She's a professional businesswoman. She's all in. I just hope they don't break up. Oh, I don't know, Charlie. Oh, my God, I hope they don't break up. That would be so sad. I don't know if I'd get out of bed, Charlie. I don't know if I'd get out of bed if they broke up. Oh, my God.
I don't see them breaking up, to be honest. This is the person who at the beginning was very cynical about the relationship. And now, I mean, they're together all the time. They're doing like the normal everyday couple things, cooking with each other at home. They went to Coachella together. I mean, definitely not like average activities.
Charlie, you live this life. You understand. You're in the spotlight. You're on Page Six. You got the paparazzi chasing you. You come out of Spago, the fancy restaurant. You know, look, it's hard for people like you. It's bottle service. It's, you know, people sliding into DMs,
man,
famous people
service.
Here and there. It's unbelievable. It's velvet ropes, bottle service, and paparazzi, Charlie. So you understand. I mean, it becomes stressful. It just does. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Dan, if that were still my life, I would love to brag about it. But, you know, unfortunately, I feel more like a geriatric woman who likes to be in bed at 9:30 than somebody that likes to go and, you know, step behind the velvet rope and get bottle service these days. What's your daughter's reaction to the new Taylor Swift album? Because I also haven't listened to that because I'm not a Swiftie, but is she just playing that on repeat right now?
Oh, she's out of her mind. I texted her the other day. I go, "Hey, is the Taylor Swift album any good? Dad, is the Pope Catholic?" I'm like, "Okay, all right, just stop." So apparently the Pope is still Catholic, and apparently the Swift album is very good. So there, I don't know. I do know this. I was watching The Rock Show a few years ago. It's called Ballers. I never heard of Taylor Swift. And then she had a song that The Rock was jamming to, and I kind of liked it. So, you know, I forget what it was called, but it was pretty good. Actually, it was very good. So I put it on my workout list, and that doesn't get listened to much. But anyway, it was a good song.
Oh, my gosh. Dan Dockich jamming out to Taylor Swift in the gym is something I would pay to see.
When I go to the gym, so many women have cameras on me. It's disgusting. Now, don't be one of those perv women that just...
That's why you can't go.
I know, I show up
in
my
spandex.
That's why
you don't go to the gym as much as you should, because you don't like the invasion of privacy.
That's unbelievable. I'm doing pull-ups and people are behind taking pictures. It sucks. It's terrible.
I can only imagine. So I guess, you know, you're going to have to probably get a private trainer, build a home gym. If you want to hope to get in spectacular shape, that's the only option, because you're just going to a normie gym. This isn't your cup of tea anymore. Just, it can't work for you.
Yeah.
Finally, Dan, we're talking about salaries. And we all know that, you know, Travis Kelce took a bit of a pay cut. Stephen A. Smith, on the other hand, he's looking for a higher salary. His contract supposedly is coming up at some point this year. He's looking to make more money. He's been surpassed recently by Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Pat McAfee. And he doesn't like that. He wants to be the head honcho at ESPN, right? And he's doing so much more now, adding to his resume, which includes talking politics, that there's the impression potentially that he doesn't need ESPN anymore, that he could go somewhere else, start his own network, start his own platform where he can not only talk sports, but also get into all the other different realms that he's shown interest in, politics being one of them. But also, interestingly, the other day, he made some comments about black people voting for Donald Trump. And he said that he's starting to hear that black folks are finding Trump more relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have also gone through. He said he's telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system, and everything else that's being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to. Well, he made these comments, and Dan, Keith Olbermann, Of course, Keith Olbermann has to chime in. Now he's calling for Stephen A. to be fired from ESPN over these comments because he says that it's wrong, and we all know how it's supposed to work, that you're not supposed to endorse a political candidate. But these comments to me weren't an endorsement. They were just getting to the bottom of an issue that a lot of people are talking about right now. Why can Keith Olbermann keep his mouth shut? Why does he have to get involved with everything?
Yeah, I really don't know. You know, Keith Olbermann was a guy back in the day that people liked. We did not like him at Indiana because he was always taking shots at Coach Knight, at least Indiana basketball. Look, here's the deal. I wish Stephen A. Smith wouldn't have apologized. I mean, he said what he said. You stand by what you say, and then you move it along. Stephen A. Smith leaving ESPN, you better think about that one long and hard. Be careful what you wish for. You know, a lot of people get to ESPN and they think because they got a little popularity, this is about them. You know, to put it in a football or basketball acumen, they think it's about the name on the back of the jersey, not the name on the front of the jersey. And Stephen A. Smith is polarizing, no question. He has a terrific platform. He has done well outside of ESPN, but I don't know if he's going to do well enough to carry him at the money that he's trying to make. Now, you got to understand something. When the NAACP comes at you and you're an African-American person, that's difficult. And that's what happened with Stephen A. Smith. You know, the feeling is, and I think Smith said that, he's going against his own people, which to me is racist in itself, but that's neither here nor there. I wish Stephen A. Smith wouldn't have apologized. I don't know why Keith Olbermann chimes in other than to try to stay relevant and get people to talk about him. But if I'm Stephen A. Smith, man, be careful what you wish for going out and starting your own network.
Yeah, definitely. I think pulling him out of the ESPN landscape, I mean, pulling himself out of it, I think will, I mean, look at all the opportunities he has with ESPN. He's doing everything right now. And they're letting him do everything else on the side that he wants to. He has so much leverage. I do think he'll get the pay bump that he's looking for because as we saw earlier this year, Ryan Clark, who I'm not sure if he deserved to get that massive payday that he did, he made a fuss about it. And he got paid, so I'm sure Stephen A. makes a big enough fuss. He's also going to get paid as well, because I think ESPN also realizes losing Stephen A. would be a massive detriment to their network as well. So I have no doubt he's going to probably get the money that he's looking for, in line with maybe the Troy Aikmans and Joe Bucks of the ecosystem.
Well, Stephen A. Smith's well-liked at ESPN off camera. I mean, I knew his producers, and they were like, hey, look, he's easy to work with. He'll do anything you ask. He's not afraid. And, you know, he's a gentleman. So that's a big part of it. That really is. And good for Stephen A. Smith. I hope he gets paid. I don't, you know, I'm doing a show while he's doing his show, so I haven't really particularly watched. But I do know this, to your point, what you just said, you're absolutely right. He is allowed to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do. And that's a pretty good gig. When you're talking about, you know, a network the size of ESPN, no one ever has had not the leverage necessarily, but the leeway that Stephen A. Smith has had. He can do whatever. He can say whatever, and they'll make excuses, and they'll make it go away. So, you know what? As I said, you got to be careful what you wish for. You know, there are two things that I go by. One, no good deed goes unpunished. And two, be careful. Be very careful what you wish for. And Stephen A. Smith, just be careful. He's got a good thing going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got a good thing going too, Dan, as always. I mean,
you are,
like I said, American treasure. You are la creme de la creme. I love having you on every single Wednesday. I'm just going to say it, and I'm sorry to who it offends. Wednesdays are my favorite because I get to talk to Dan Dockage. So there you go. I hope that makes you feel good heading
women
into.
Women
get you. The neighbor got you. Your daughter gets you, your wife gets you, I get you, and hopefully everybody watching at 9 a.m. on Outkick.com also gets you, because a new episode of Don't At Me coming your way in just a few minutes. So, Dan, go get ready. Just keep doing your thing, and I'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. I got to go put my face on.
Go do it. Go.
Bye.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, there's something that Gen Z likes to do. They've made a habit of doing it. And that is taking everything that us millennials went through. Good, bad, and they like to make it their own or pretend like it's their idea. Fashion, for example. Some of the fashion statements that we made back in my day, which I'm so grateful that have gone away, they're trying to bring back. I'm not too happy about it. Low-rise jeans being one of them. No, thank you. Let's leave those in the past. Capri pants. They weren't attractive then. They're not attractive now, but Gen Z trying to act like, oh my God, look at these new pants. They're revolutionary. No, they're not. They were ours. You're trying to make them now yours. Now this is also happening in the world of social media. When I was growing up, there was a platform called MySpace. It no longer exists. It was awesome though. You could completely customize your own page. You could add music. You made your top eight, which by the way, if you made somebody's top eight, that was a big deal. It was a huge deal. You knew that you were important. And also if you were kicked out of someone's top eight, I mean, that was a huge diss. If you were kicked out of someone's top eight, probably that's a fighting move. Well, anyways, on the point of Gen Z trying to steal everything that was once ours, now there's a new social platform that is about to jump onto the scene, and that's called NoSpace. It's not called MySpace, it's called NoSpace. But it's the same concept as MySpace. Top eight, yep. Customizable homepage, yep. Ability to connect with others, absolutely. It already has a 380,000 person waiting list. Gen Z just gets bored easily. They've got ADD. We all have ADD. But now they're like, you know what? We've been on Instagram for a while. We've been on TikTok for a while. What's next? So now they're creating NoSpace. Will I get on NoSpace? Probably not. I'm not even really getting into TikTok much just because I can't handle it all. It's really just Instagram and X for me. But I just think it's funny that everything that we had that went away because it apparently wasn't cool enough now is being brought back and made to be cool again. So I'm excited to see what NoSpace is about. Again, I probably won't have one. I don't even know the codes anymore. I remember we used to like go research HTML codes in order to plug into our profile and customize. I'm sure now it's just a click of a button. Everything's made to be much easier. But NoSpace, guys, it's the new social media platform of 2024, so it seems to be. All right, everyone, that is all the time we have. Thank you so much for being here. Everybody, make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV. And I will see all of you tomorrow for a new episode. Have a good one.